Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and love from the Lord Jesus. Amen. The text is from Luke, the 12th chapter, verse 15. Then Jesus said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist on the abundance of his possessions." This is the text. My dear brother, right after this, our Savior embarked in telling them a parable. Parables are earthly stories with a divine meaning. That's a parable. And this parable, in this parable, a rich man said to his soul, "Rest. We've got plenty of money. Now we can eat and drink and be happy." And Jesus said he was very rich in earthly terms, but poor towards God. In another story just before this, Jesus tells a young man, "What can a man give for his soul?" It's a little bit almost sarcastic sarcasm that our Lord asks this man, "What can a man give for his soul in exchange of his soul?" There is nothing in this world. The whole world, all the treasures in on earth, will not buy one soul. But the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us of all sins and buys salvation to everyone. This is a very hard lesson for us to learn because we live in a capitalistic society, let's face it. And this society is confusing at times the signals it sends out. It says, "Oh, yes, we value family." But then we turn around and reward the one that works for 60 hours a week and forgets all about the family. There are some traps that we must negotiate. And Jesus is just the right guide to firmly say, "Yes, take all the earthly possessions you have and enjoy them, but don't think that they are the source of your salvation. The source of your salvation is my blood." That's, in effect, what he is doing. So, he teaches us a lesson about the love of money. It's not money. Money is okay, nothing wrong with money, but it's the love of money that is addicting. The love of money that is the root of all evil. Solomon, the wisest man ever to walk on the earth, said, "Those that have plenty never have enough." Interesting. I think you and I know a few of those that never have enough. Got to work, got to work, got to work, got to make money. God tells us that he is in charge of our food, of our drink, our clothing, our shelter. These are the gifts of God. What do we have to worry about? Death. No, not even death. Our health is in God's hands. Our life is in God's hands. He wants us to enjoy life, not to spend it chewing on our fingernails, wrapped up in a bundle of nerves and anxiety. Greed, Jesus says, is addicting. And it is. We can notice this. The greedy never have enough. They want more and more. Because in greed there is a misconception that money is the solution for our problems. I used to ask my 8th graders what they would like to be when they grew up. Oh, basketball players and movie stars was like 1 and 2 on their list. Why? Lots of money and fame. Is that the solution for the elusive happiness in your life? Will that make you happy? Absolutely not. If anything, it'll cause more problems than it'll little self, having what to eat and what to dress, Paul says, let's be happy with that. That's the recipe. When we look at our lives as a gift from God, and then we live it in service to one another, because we have plenty of time, intelligence, and means. I find it beautiful that Jesus simply summarizes the whole philosophy of a Christian. A man's life does not consist on the abundance of his possessions. A man's life consists rather on the abundance of his faith. A word about faith. Theologically, we study the Bible, of course, at the seminaries, and we speak about two types of faith. Fides directa, direct faith, and fides reflexa, reflected faith. Direct faith is what you and I get at baptism. We are saved through that faith. Now, fides reflexa is, what do you do with the faith that is given to you? Are you going to be quiet about it, or are you going to bask in it, live according to it, and just praise God every day with all your worth because of your faith, because of the opportunity? Kim and I, in our offices back there, say, now I get to preach the gospel and you get to lead the congregation in singing. It's not an obligation. We look forward to this. We want this. We welcome it. And we thank God for the privilege of being of service to the whole Christian congregation, to what we call our family. It is a little bit like you say, when life gives you a lemon, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to moan and groan, or are you going to make a lemonade? Right? So, when God gives you faith, what are you going to do? Oh, now I cannot do this. Now I cannot do that. Now I must behave. Now I can't have fun. Is that it? No, those are ascetists. They are people that we don't like, that they corrupt what the Bible teaches us. So, when God gives you faith, bask in it, thank Him, and live it out in every day of your life. Maybe because of the influence of the world on us, it is kind of hard to learn and to live according to it, because we will be looked at like strange. What is he doing? What is she doing now? Why aren't they desperate when their loved one died? When tragedy struck, how come they were not rattled? Faith sustains you. When you live in fides reflexa, let your faith shine. When you are aware of this relationship with God, things are different. The threats are diminished. The fear is gone. Anxiety, non-existent. In a devotion to pastors in Green Lake once, I said, faith and anxiety are exclusive. Where there is faith, I mean fides reflexa, active faith, faith with fun, there can be no anxiety. And one pastor came and Sander, he reprimanded me because he was also a psychologist. And he said, what about counseling? I said, counseling is a gift that God throws into fides reflexa, but it cannot solve my problem. Who solves my problem is the love of God in my life. So, society's rewards can sometimes be quite opposed to Christian values. Let's not fall for that. Let's follow our dear Lord Jesus. He actually died for you and me. He actually gave us eternal life. To him, it's worth listening to. Whatever he says, do it. Paul's advice, set your eyes on things above, not on earthly things. Well, on earthly things, if I just look at the earth, things are pretty grim. But if I look above at the plans that God has for me, the horizon explodes in light and joy. So all three scripture readings today talk about the value of things here and the value of things there. Solomon, the wisest man on earth, he said, I was king of Israel. I served in Jerusalem. Right. And he said, I observe things and everything is vanity. Why work hard? And the moment your heart stops, everything you have goes to somebody else. J.B. Getty owns zero. Why? Because he is dead. So does the patriarch of the Vanderbilt family. He owns zero because he is dead. Solomon said, this is all vanity, a chasing after the wind. And you think you have the wind, and the wind escapes through your fingers. Don't do it. So, some of the greatest people that I've ever met in my life, I know, had absolutely no money. I grew up in absolutely very poor conditions in Brazil. But those people, with their service to others, in reckless abandon, always ready to receive a visitor that would knock on their door, those people will live in my heart and in the hearts of those they serve forever. That's the type of stuff that the world needs. That's the type of stuff God enabled you and me to do. So, let's do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.